Coming to you from the Deep South, this is the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast. High impact leadership is not reserved for leaders, and it has nothing to do with your position, title, or rank. However, it does have everything to do with your character. It's time to climb to the next level and beyond, personally and professionally. Now, let's start making it happen with your host, Max Story.
Listen to the voices of disengaged, low-impact players. I hope you're not one of them. That's not my job. Sorry, I forgot to tell you. That's above my pay grade. I'm just here to get a check. They don't pay me to think. That's not my responsibility. Oh, I didn't know. No one told me. How is it my fault? I didn't know. If they would have told me sooner. Oh, I'm here to do my 8 and hit the gate. You should have known I needed to know. Again, those were the voices of the disengaged, low-impact players. I've heard all those voices. Sometimes it was my voice. I'm better now. But welcome to the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast today. I just wanted to start this one out a little different by sharing some of those voices. But today we're on trait 19, chapter 19, trait 19, which is be engaged. The subtitle is engagement leads to involvement. So I'm continuing my 30-part series on my book, Blue Collar Leadership and Teamwork, today. Subtitle, 30 Traits of High-Impact Players. And again, today I'm going to talk to you about trait 19, be engaged. The thing about all those voices I just shared with you, those are disengaged people. If you say any of those, whenever you say those words, you're creating distrust. Unless, let me say it a different way. You're creating distrust with high impact people, high impact individuals, high impact players, high impact leaders. If you say those things I said a minute ago, you're creating distrust with those people. Now at the same time, low impact individuals, low impact team players, low impact leaders, you very well may be building trust with those people because they say those things too, and they feel the same way, and they're disengaged. So they like people who are disengaged with them. Makes them feel better about themselves, about being disengaged. You just got to decide who you want to be. You want to be engaged or disengaged? It's up to you. It ain't up to me. Remember, I'm just here to provoke thought and raise your awareness. I'm going to ask you what I always ask you. I'm the boss, unless I missed it. Now, I could have missed it sometimes. Maybe I didn't. My intention was to ask you this question every trait, every episode. I'm the boss. I'm about to hire somebody and add them to your team, our team, my team, but you're on the team. You're going to have to work with this person. Every day, you're going to have to work with this person. I've narrowed it down to 2 candidates, 2 people. I'm going to hire one of them. I'm here to tell you today, whoever you are listening to me right now, you get to decide which one it is. These 2 people are rock stars. That's why I narrowed it down to these 2. They're both highly competent. They even both have really good character. There's only one thing different between them that I really can tell you about. One of them appears to be highly engaged. The other one appears that there's going to be a good chance they're going to become disengaged. I think they're going to start out highly engaged. That's who they are. But I think they're going to become disengaged. One of them is going to remain highly engaged. One of them may become disengaged. I don't know. I believe the other one, there's no doubt he gonna stay highly engaged. Which one do you want me to hire? The one that I feel is gonna remain engaged, highly engaged, or the one that I think is gonna fizzle out and become disengaged? I know which one you're gonna pick. You're gonna pick the highly engaged team member. Now, you may pick them because you're highly engaged, or you may want somebody else to carry your load. Doesn't matter. Either way, you're going to pick the highly engaged person. Nobody in their right mind would say, bring somebody on my team that I got to work with every day that's going to be disengaged. Nobody's going to say that. Well, maybe somebody would. I don't know them. I don't want to know them. They're probably out there these days. It's a rough world out there. But I ain't talking to those people. I'm talking to you. So I want to read you a quote, share a quote with you from Gary Ridge. He was the former CEO of WD-40. There's a good chance you got a can of that or several cans of that at home and at work. The blue and yellow can, WD-40. It's got a lot of different uses. But anyway, let me tell you what Gary said. Remember, I'm talking to you about being engaged. And he is a CEO saying this, the top leader in the organization, big organization, global organization. This is what he said. He said, I am responsible for taking action, asking questions, getting answers, and making decisions. I won't wait for someone to tell me. If I need to know, I'm responsible for asking. I have no right to be offended that I didn't get this sooner. If I'm doing something others should know about, I'm responsible for telling them. That right there is a highly engaged team player. He happened to be the CEO on that team. But if I was on a team, I wouldn't care if you were entry level, somewhere in the middle, somewhere beside me, somewhere above me. I want to be that example of what Gary said, and I would want everybody beside me, 360 degrees around me, to be the same way. I want to work with highly engaged people who accept responsibility for everything all the time. That's what high impact teams do. That's why they require high impact players. That's the kind of people high impact leaders want on their teams. That's why if you want to be on a good team, especially if you're not on a good team now, if you want to be the kind of person that a high impact leader who has a good team would want to hire, you got to become that kind of team player regardless of what team you're on today. Because see, it ain't about everybody else. Who you are ain't got nothing to do with everybody else. It's got everything to do with you. Low impact players, they'll say, well, my team sucks. How am I supposed to do this surrounded by these people? I don't know. That's your job. What's it got to do with them? What's anything outside of you got to do with you, how you are on the inside? That's someone looking for an excuse. When somebody says that to me, they're looking for an excuse to not be how they ought to be. High impact players don't do that. They don't do it. And if they truly become a high impact team player, they're not going to be on a team that sucks. They're going to move on. Unless they're there for a specific reason, which in my world is cultural transformation. But they ain't going to be moaning and groaning about everybody else. If they're on the team and they're moaning and groaning, they're there because that's the team they ought to be on. Somebody who's on that same team to help with cultural transformation, they ain't going to be moaning and groaning. They're going to be focused on developing themselves, building relationships wherever they can, not worrying about the ones they can't. And they're there to help a leader, usually above them, transform the culture. Or they could be the top leader. And the top leader's role and goal is to transform the culture. So you got to always be reflecting in the mirror. Why are you doing what you're doing? I could get on this podcast and talk to you every day about all the people who are not on board in all the organizations I've ever worked in or I've ever supported. I use them as examples sometimes to help you see, you know, compare and contrast a high impact person versus a low impact person. But I ain't moaning and groaning and whining about those people. They're out there. They are everywhere. They are the majority of people. But that ain't where I focus. I do what I do, and I try to attract people who value what I value, and I ignore the other folks. Why would I want to spend my time, energy, anything on those people? They don't want to change. They're not going to change. Now, I'm saying if I was a leader, I would give them an opportunity. They would be required to be on book studies with all the people who already value being on the book studies. The people who don't value it would be required to be on the book study. The reason is everybody needs to be learning this stuff, whether they want to learn it or not. If I'm responsible for transforming the culture, everybody's got to learn it. I got to figure out who, when given a chance, still is not interested. If you just allow people, if it's volunteer from the beginning to participate in this kind of development, people who don't know what they don't know are going to think they don't want nothing to do with this. So they're never going to get introduced to it. I see organizations all the time that make it mandatory. This leaders say this is who we are and what we're about. And I see people who come into those teams who would never have volunteered to come into those teams, who quite often become the most motivational and inspirational people because they actually transform. They're people like me who ain't never been exposed to this stuff. And they wouldn't have been if they wouldn't have had a leader who says, we're going to require this stuff. This is who we are. We value growth and development. We value having people on our team who value growing and developing. If you don't make it mandatory, a leader who doesn't make this mandatory, they're not engaged. They're disengaged because what that leader is saying is, you don't have to be engaged to work here. How in the world can you transform a culture when you're telling people through your actions, you don't have to be engaged to work here? You don't have to be engaged for us to transform the culture. That's ridiculous. But leaders do it all over the place. And then they're frustrated because why is nothing happening? And then they quit. They quit. I always tell leaders, give people a chance, involve everybody. You know, this is what I would do. I always tell them this is what I would do because I don't tell people what to do. I just tell them what I would do, and I tell them why I would do it. And then the majority of them, they go do whatever it is they want to do. They don't take the advice. And then they flop around all over the place. Some of their best people leave. Eventually, they get frustrated, and some of them may leave or they go back. The top leader I'm talking about, they go back. When I say go back, it means they stop trying to transform the culture because they think this stuff doesn't work. No, this stuff works. The leader's not leading. The leader disengaged. This is what I got to tell you. If your leadership development initiative, program, whatever you want to call it, if it's not working, it's because the leaders are not leading. Because it ain't about the stuff. It's about the leaders. This stuff, my stuff, is just a tool and a resource to help leaders who want to lead. But if I'm not intentionally engaged as a leader who's leading cultural transformation, to say, I'm going to grow and develop everybody, not just those who want it. It's going to be a requirement to work here. You're going to be engaged with growth and development. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. And if you don't like that, you probably need to be looking for you another job because at some point you're going to become irrelevant in my organization. I ain't going to make you irrelevant today. I'm going to give you an opportunity to remain and become a part of this organization as we move forward. If you decide you want to quit but stay, that ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. You can't quit but stay in my organization. You're going to be engaged or you're going to be gone. That's up to you, though, not me. I would have that kind of talk. Everybody would know. I would declare my intent. I would be clear. But I'm telling you what, if I'm leading an organization, Max Story, I'm going to be highly engaged with the growth and development of my team. That means everybody. You don't want to play? You ain't got to play. You got to go play somewhere else if you ain't going to play here. If you ain't going to be engaged. If you work in an organization that's trying to transform the culture, doesn't matter what level you at, you must be engaged. You've got to attend, raise your hand, participate, lead book studies. Even if it's just one person that you can have a discussion with at break or lunch or after work if you're friends, you got to support that leader. If you can't support your leader, why are you there? High impact players are always engaged beyond what is required. They don't expect someone else to be responsible for their results. See that right there, what I just shared with you. High impact leaders don't expect someone else to be responsible for their results. That's why if I'm on a team, I'm the top leader. I may be the owner or the CEO or whatever you want to, whatever my title is, I'm the top dog. I'm still on the team. So I'm talking to you about being a high impact team player. That just don't mean for the people who report to the boss. The boss is on the team too. So now I'm talking about the big boss. High impact leaders at the top don't expect someone else to be responsible for their results. So if I'm at the top and I'm responsible for cultural transformation, you think I'm just going to take volunteers? Who wants to participate? No. I'm the top leader. I value cultural transformation. I get to decide what we're going to do. Everybody's going to participate. I'm the top leader. I get to cast the vision. I get to set the direction. Everybody's going to participate. Why in the world would I say only those who want to participate can participate? The rest of you can keep contaminating the culture. That's ridiculous. But I'm telling you, the majority of leaders that I support, that's exactly what they do. And it's not because these leaders are bad leaders. Most of them are trying to get better, but they don't really know how because they ain't never done this before. Most of the leaders that I get to support, they're learning how to do this. They're learning, their team's learning. I give folks all kinds of tips. They don't listen most of the time because they don't know. They think they know better, so they do something else. They don't know. I get to do this all over the country. I've been doing it for years and years and years and years with teams all over. They ain't ever did it with one team. But they think they know how to do it better than me. They welcome to go try. They welcome to fail. Because I don't go around tell people what to do. They ask questions or they read my books. I mean, if they read my books, it's full of what to do. And then they don't go do it. And then they say it don't work. Oh, I tried that stuff in that book. It didn't work. No, you didn't try the stuff that was in the book. You cherry picked some things from the book or from this podcast. It didn't work. So this is just a shout out to all my top leaders out there who may be listening to this podcast. I hardly ever hear from you. I hear a lot from your teams. Why don't you call me? If you're struggling, why don't you call me? I wish you would. But I'm trying to help you through many of your team members. You may or may not know they call me. They don't call me badmouth you. They call me because they're trying to get better and they want to help the organization get better. And they don't say this, but I'm saying this. You're failing them. If everybody in your organization, if this is not mandatory, you're failing those who are on board. I don't even know who I'm talking to right now. I don't know who listens or who don't listen. But that's just a shout out to the top leaders out there. If you're following me and this stuff is not mandatory in your organization, maybe you're a supervisor. Maybe there's nothing happening in your organization, but you're a supervisor. You got five people reporting to you. and you're just doing what I'm doing at your level, what I'm teaching you to do at your level. You're trying to be engaged with cultural transformation, with your team, by yourself. There's no support anywhere else. It's you. Well, I'm talking to you too. If you got five people on your team and you say, hey, if any of y'all want to go through a book study, I'm glad to lead us through one. Two of them say they want to do it. Three of them don't. And you okay with that? You letting those two down. Although you helping them, you're letting them down. If it's your team, you say, we're going to go through a book study together. It's just what it's going to be. I'm going to play this podcast. We're going to listen to it and talk about it. That's the way it's going to be. That's what the top leader gets to do. That's what the leader of a team gets to do. Doesn't matter what position they're at. They get to do it. Because as soon as you don't require it, you're telling everybody it ain't required. No wonder people don't participate. They ain't required to participate. Don't get mad at them because they won't participate. Make it mandatory. This is who we are. This is where we're going. Get on board or get left behind. It's up to you. But the train's leaving the gate. They take ownership of themselves and their team's results. That's what highly engaged people do. High impact players don't blame others for not telling them information they need to know. They are engaged and find out what they need to know. Instead of waiting for the information to find them, they find the information. I like that stuff right there. That's some truth. I see a lot of top leaders when they start doing this type stuff, or even before, maybe they're just naturally good leaders. The CEO, I've seen CEO of a $1 billion company out walking the floor, talking to the frontline entry-level people on a regular basis. They know him. They know his name. There's a lot of leaders between the frontline leaders, I mean the frontline workers, and that CEO, big company, huge company. I've walked the aisles where the people are working, and I hear them call this person by name and talk to them. Interrupt me and him talking so that they can talk because they know him that well. They got a relationship. What I know is there's a lot of people between the frontline workers and that CEO, formal authority leaders I'm talking about. They are so threatened by that. They can't stand it because it causes them to have to go out and get engaged, to try to figure out what the big dog's learning. They don't want to be engaged. They want to be disengaged. That's why the big dog is out there, because he ain't waiting for information that he ain't never going to get from these disengaged leaders below him. He's going to go out and find the information. On the other hand, if high-impact players have information others on their team need, they don't wait for them to ask for it. They intentionally make sure they provide it. If you're leading a cultural transformation, you got information everybody on your team needs. It's all this development content that I'm sharing with you about. Or if you're in my books, you're leading book studies. You got information everybody needs. Why are you going to give it just to a few people that want it? Everybody needs it. You give it to everybody who needs it. That's everybody. Unless you disengage, then you just let anybody who wants to get it. And the other ones, well, they can keep causing you problems and their team problems, and you ain't never going to have the cultural transformation you want. Low-impact players are quick to blame a teammate for not providing the information they need. Low-impact players are quick to make excuses and slow to find a way to make things happen. You don't want to be those people. You don't want to be a low-impact player. Low-impact players are also likely to have information teammates need, but don't share it unless someone asks them for it. Sometimes they don't share it then. Pretty sad, but that's the way it is. So there's no doubt Napoleon Hill had low-impact players in mind when he wrote the words I'm about to share with you. Here's what he had to say And I guarantee you when he wrote it, he may not have used the term low impact player, but that's what he was talking about. It's what he said. He said, it is the practice of the majority of people to perform no more service than they feel they are being paid to perform. Fully, 80% of all whom I have analyzed were suffering on account of this great mistake. You need to have no fear of competition from the people who say, I'm not paid to do that, therefore, I'll not do it. That person will never be a dangerous competitor for your job. So if you're a high-impact player, just back to Mac's word now, that was a great quote from Napoleon Hill. But I started out this episode with the voices of the disengaged, low-impact player. And I've shared some stuff with you. I want to go back through those voices one more time. Now that you've had the lesson, maybe you'll see those voices again. But these voices, people who are saying these things, they're not a threat to you if you're a high-impact player. But if you're one of those people saying these things, there's a high-impact player out there somewhere who's a threat to you. Because if you don't do what high-impact players are doing, you're going to be left behind by those who are. So listen to the voices of the disengaged one more time. Low-impact players. That's not my job. Sorry, I forgot to tell you. Well, that's above my pay grade. Well, I'm just here to get a check. They don't pay me to think. That's not my responsibility. Well, I didn't know. No one told me. How's it my fault? I didn't even know. Well, if they'd have told me sooner, oh, I'm just here to do my 8 and hit the gate. You should have known I needed to know. Those are the voices of the disengaged. Many people who are saying those things, they don't even understand why saying those things mean they're disengaged. You could be doubting me. You could be guilty of saying one of those things, and you could be thinking, I'm highly engaged. But I say this all the time, but I'm engaged. When you're saying that, you ain't engaged. The rest of the time, you may be highly engaged. What's holding you back in life is not when you're highly engaged. What's holding you back in life is when you're not highly engaged, when you're being disengaged. So that's what you got to know. You can be engaged in many areas of your life. You can be engaged many minutes throughout the day, but you can also be disengaged in different areas of your life while you're being engaged in other areas. You could be disengaged in some minutes of your day, although you're highly engaged the rest of the minutes of your day. But being highly engaged is not holding you back. If you want to climb to the next level and beyond, you got to figure out these times you're not engaged and get engaged. If you want to become a high-impact leader, especially if you want to become the big dog, maybe you already are a big dog and you want to become a bigger dog. Or you're down low in the organization. Maybe you're just starting your climb and one day you want to be an owner or a CEO. Every step of the way, you've got to be highly engaged. You got to build a high-impact team. If you're a frontline entry-level worker and you got a strong desire to excel in life, in your professional career, even though I wrote Blue Collar Leadership and Culture, the 5 components for building high performance teams, even though I wrote that book for the CEO, you need to read it. You need to learn it. Every time you get a formal position of authority, you need to apply what's in that book to your team. I don't care if it's one person or 1,000 or 10,000, every level you need to learn how to apply that. You are the CEO of that team. You transform that culture. You build that culture. You learn what works, how to do it. And then you get promoted. You get a bigger team or a different team. Now you've done it once. Now you do it again. You're going to hone your skills. You're going to learn new stuff. You're going to get new stories. You're going to get new experience. Everything's going to be different. Then you do it again, and you do it again. And then maybe one day you're the CEO. You do it there. Then you get, then you may double your pay to get to do it for another company that needs it to be done. You've been training yourself every step of the way to transform the culture on your team, whether it's one person or 10,000. Rhea had this to say, being proactive will allow you to stand out among your peers as someone who is a leader or who has leadership potential. Be engaged. Talk to you next time.
Make it happen or someone else will. It might as well be you. Are you serious about taking your career and your life to the next level and beyond? Check out Max Story's Blue Collar Leadership Series books and others, now available on audio, along with paperback and ebooks at Amazon, iTunes, and Audible. Please visit bluecollarleadership.com to learn about Max books, programs, special offers, certifications, and more. Thank you for listening to the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast.